serious. Call Nationwide Tax Relief. We're honest, and we'll treat you like family. Call us for your free confidential consultation. Again, you're not alone. You've got Nationwide.
Call Nationwide Tax Relief today at 1-800-958-2677. That's 1-800-958-2677.
You're listening to GCN.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests, and hopefully we're going to have Barrett Chose with us, Ray, shortly. But until Barrett gets here, I want to tell you about the secret. There really is a secret. It's been around for thousands of years. Certainly the great minds of the past have known about it. Plato knew about it, and Aristotle and Alexander the Great, and yes, Pythagoras and Napoleon, and certainly many of the people, Thomas Edison certainly was well aware of what this was all about. The great leaders and minds of the past have all known the secret. But it had to be kept from you common people out there, because it would give you the ability to accomplish what others have accomplished. And in my talk, The Forbidden Secret, which will be available very, very shortly, and we'll want you to see it, we simply quote Alexander the Great, who writes to Aristotle and chides him for giving away the secret, for writing about it. And as Aristotle writes back to Alexander and says, Alexander, you don't have anything to worry about. You can read all you want to about the secret, but unless somebody explains what the mystery is, why they certainly cannot apply it. Well, recently, there's been an effort here all across America on Oprah Winfrey and on Larry King's show, and by the miracle of Internet and certainly of the television, and to introduce people to this secret. And it really will change your life. It's a secret of wealth. It's a secret of knowledge. It's a secret of success, and a secret that you really want to be very, very wary of, because it will lead you into all the wrong paths. But I think it's important that you understand that you're forewarned, because certainly eternity is at stake, and we're all one day going to stand before the throne of judgment to answer for what we've done. And you need to know there is a secret out there, and to avoid it like the plague, because, of course, what you're doing... Well, I'm going to let Barrett tell you what you're really doing. Hi, Barrett. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm fine, thank you. And, wow, it's just such an eye-opener, not in the sense that there's anything new, because both you and I, you know much more about this or have known for many, many years than I have known. But what is the eye-opener is how popular it suddenly has become. That which was dark and hidden, shut away through the Middle Ages, went into secret society, was part of secret societies, and the church was, you know, totally oblivious to it for the most part, except certain initiated ones who were entered in or infiltrated the church. But generally, it's not been common knowledge. In fact, it's the sort of thing we shrink away at the thought of, because this is the core of hermetic magic, Aleister Crowley's kind of Satanism and occultism. The heart of it is the theme of this new book, The Secret, by Rhonda Byrne. And right at the opening pages, she has the core phrase that's been part of all these various secret societies through the ages, going back to what she says, and what most people say about 3000 BC. I don't think there's any certainty about it, because it's so infused with myth as well as actual history. But the statement is, as above, so below. What you do in your mind will become reality. It's part of the whole monism system of thinking. All is one. One is all. It has nothing to do with biblical Christianity or monotheism. It's an occult system, the heart of most oriental religions, but it was also
Hold that thought right there.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At researchedherbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at researchedherbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at researchedherbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean the hard to find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned and operated since 1947. Earth friendly pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and today while we're talking with Barrett Schoss about this secret that has been passed down through the ages, and now it's come out in book and DVD form. And the problem, really, with this whole scenario is, if you really do begin to focus your mind on certain things, many times you will actually get an answer to your prayers. But unfortunately, you're praying to the wrong God. You're focusing on the wrong things. And the God of the heavens is not going to honor what you do, but the God of this earth to lure you into the other dimension will certainly answer your requests. But there's going to be a terrible price to pay. People really don't understand that there is another dimension. We're involved in the spiritual war. We very seldom see evidence of the other side, but it is there. And like a hungry lion is prowling in search of souls to devour. So you pick up the story there, Barry.
Well, I just want to emphasize what you just said. I see lots of signs of the other side because Over the years, I've written a lot of articles on role-playing games and occult entertainment for children and so on. As a result, many young people, especially young men, but also girls, write to me, and some just tell me how great it is and the miraculous answers they have had and how it has strengthened them. Others tell me, you know, ask for prayer because they are in total bondage. They have terrible dreams at night. Parents, in fact, have written and told me this, too. There's children, small children, who were watching Yu-Gi-Oh! And various other anime, occult anime, would start having bad dreams at night. They couldn't sleep. They would be afraid. And so I've talked with and prayed with various young people on the phone, praying for sleep, praying for release from bondage to the occult forces that they have literally invited into their minds. And this is what we're going to see more and more of. I could give another example later on if we have time, but I won't do that right now. But this is very real. And I want to just read a quote from scriptures. This is 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. And I believe this is becoming increasingly near to us at this point as occultism spread. It's interesting to look at the parallels of Old Testament when the people turned away from God and embraced the occult forces of the lands around them. God turned them over to their own meager resources and to the armies of these neighboring nations that took them, that destroyed Israel and finally Jerusalem. But in that 2 Thessalonians, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. I mean, it's very sobering scripture, but what it tells us is that they are... that those who don't love the truth and embrace this lie are going to be in real serious trouble. They may see some wonderful miracles, but they are a deception. They are a deception that Satan is happy to provide because it'll draw more people into the dark side. So we're not dealing with something that's innocent and simply dealing with, what can I get? How can I make myself rich or happy? We're dealing with the forces of evil that are battling over the lives of the people on the earth right now.
But, of course, the thing is that you can get tremendous advantage. Many of the rock stars, you know, have suddenly given themselves to the dark side. And they've got great fame and great wealth and free use of drugs and sex and wonderful fame. And this is covered in the videos we carry. They sold their souls for rock and roll.
Right.
People, Matt, don't really believe this sort of thing, but there is more and more of this demonic activity, which is today than there was certainly 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And 25 or 30 years ago, this was almost unknown here. Odra has always existed in this country, but never as prevalent as it is today, which is one reason why I really believe we are headed towards the major climax of history, at least the history of our nation, as a sovereign nation under God. Because we are no longer a nation under God. We have become a pagan nation. And many of our leaders, of course, are disciples of these dark spiritual forces. That is how they've gotten to be into the key positions in government, in corporations, in the great tax-exempt foundations, in the universities, and yes, even in the pulpits of our nation. So pick up the story there.
Well, that is so true. Maybe we should go into just a little bit of the history because that shows us where the influence is coming into the churches. It hasn't been called a secret. It's been called by all kinds of other names, positive thinking, from Norman Vincent Peale, who was into New Thought, the whole New Thought deception, which gave birth to Unity and Christian Science and Science of Mind and many of the other kinds of quotation mark around churches, because they're not true churches, but there are religious counterfeits that masqueraded as churches but had understood the secret, this occult secret that we're talking about, and were implementing it. But again, we generally, this it distanced itself, or the church itself, the true church distanced itself from that. Now the two are coming together. Let me just go into a little bit of the history of this, so that we can look at, for example, Byrne talks about, Rhonda Byrne, who wrote The Secret, talks about masters, she says, a burning desire to share the secret with the world consumed me. This is before she had written a book, but had been introduced to the phrase, as above, so below, had read some material. For example, one book that really inspired her dated back to 1910. She was in real trouble. She had was divorced. She didn't have any money. And she wanted to fix up her life, and so she read the book called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. It deals with the monism I was talking about before. It talks about Hegel, who was into all kinds of occult, sacred societies, Rosicrucianism, and so on. Teaching that if you think a particular way, what you think produces a form of what you're thinking. So again, it was this mind over matter, and you can create your own reality by your thoughts. The old theme of ancient occultism and mystery societies. Those other masters, she calls them masters, who taught her. Well, she said, one by one, these masters began to emerge. I became a magnet as I began to search. One great living master after another was drawn to me. And these masters included not just living ones, but also those who had deceased, like Joseph Campbell, the mythologist, Jack Canfield, of course, is living, and Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God, an occult book that many Christians and churches were endorsing because it sounded so good. And this is a problem, Dr. Stan, I think, today. People in the churches don't know the Bible well enough. Pastors don't want to bore them with Scripture. And so they take out of the heart of Christianity that which is more important and more exciting than anything, and that's God's Word. So you have people who call themselves Christian who have a positive, culturally relevant understanding of Christianity, one that they can interpret in just about any way they want to, which is not grounded in truth or filtered through the light of God's Word. And so they have no idea what's deceptive anymore. And I think this is why we're moving so fast toward occultism and toward an acceptance of occultism and a growing hatred for Christianity. Now, one of her masters was Esther Hicks, who is a channeler, and if you go to the Hicks website, she's mentioned by Rhonda Byrne in her book, The Secret, and it tells us on the Hicks' website that Abraham, which is a group, a legion of evolved teachers, speak their broader non-physical perspective through the physical body of Esther Hicks. They guide us to a clear connection with our inner being. Now, this is no cult statement, but I'm just mentioning that this is the kind of teaching that's being promoted by this super popular book called The Secret, that people across the country and around the world have suddenly become aware of, and in their quest for success, they're buying the book and implementing the principles.
And the thing is, you know, and I bought the DVD. I wanted to see how it was presented. And they explain that you can organize the whole universe around your thoughts. If you will just, for instance, you want a sports car, pick out the color. Pick out, do you want it with an automatic transmission? Do you want it with a stick shift? And then you just sit down and you imagine you're driving that sports car. You imagine you're shifting the sports car. Go through the actions of shifting. Go through the actions of driving. Focus on that car. And the trouble is, what you're doing in all of this is opening your mind to demonic possession, and you may very well, by one means or another, get that sports car. I know people who've actually used these techniques and have gotten exactly what they requested, until, of course, they begin to realize that they were demonically possessed. Now, once you are demonically possessed and you don't know the Lord, why, you're in real trouble, because there really is no escape for you. now your heart and mind and soul are gone. You actually have given your very thought process, your mind, your soul to the devil. And at this time, we're talking about not an occasional, nutcase out there. We're talking about millions of people at this very moment in history, right here in the United States and throughout the world, are found the secret that has been known now through the ages, and it has. Plato was involved with the occult. Aristotle was involved with the occult and the mystery religions. Alexander the Great was able to conquer the whole world of his time by tapping into this mysterious force that's out there. But it really isn't mysterious. It's simply demonic. And when you understand that there is another dimension and you want to avoid it by the plague and just get back to the Word of God, we'll be back in just a moment with Barrett Shows here at Genesis. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. This is not a debt consolidation company. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt. Instead of living each day in fear, it's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024. And ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
thing that you cannot do when you have this knowledge. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. The secret can give you whatever you want. As says, of course, those people who advocate the secret, the law of attraction is the law of creation. You create your life through your thoughts. And, of course, as it is above, so it is below. And you're able to actually mobilize the universe around your thought process. And as you watch this video, it is very, very skillfully done. And they have all of these very, very successful people telling you, just write yourself a check for $100,000. Or, do you want $1 million? Write a check for $1 million and begin to concentrate on it. And sooner or later, that money is going to come to you. And to concentrate, though. All of your thoughts are to concentrate on that $1 million. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you never saw a hearse on the way to the graveyard with a U-Haul trailer behind it. And you may get that $100,000 or $1 million and lose your soul in the process. Keep your eyes focused on God and God's word and God's plan for your life. Do not fall prey to these alternative promises, because believe me, they come from the very pit of hell. There are two dimensions, the one that we live in. We see manifestations of the other dimension at times, and I believe in the UFOs, supernatural occurrences that occur, and certainly all these ideas of hauntings. I don't think that they're real ghosts. I think they're demonic spirits, but they are there, and of course they're playing their part so well. Avoid the mediums, avoid the fortune tellers, avoid the diviners, avoid all of these people who want to put you in contact with the other dimension. Because understand, what is at stake is your eternal soul. Go ahead, Barrett.
Let me read the scripture again. This is from Luke 4, verses 5 through 8, and I think this is just a sobering reminder. This is where Jesus has just been baptized by John and received the Holy Spirit through the dove that descended. And then it says, the devil taking him up on a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. I'm mentioning this because there's some important principles in here. I mean, if we are indeed crucified with Christ and his life is in us, then we are being conformed to Jesus, and we need to really follow his way. That means that we have to say, as he said, you know, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone you shall serve. But we're facing the same kind of temptations, that we can somehow take a handle on all the authority of the world and do whatever we want, get what we want. Let me just read some other quotes from the book just to illustrate this. You create your life through your thoughts. With this powerful knowledge, you can completely change every circumstance and event in your life. The secret can give you whatever you want. In other words, the focus is on you. You get what you want. That's exactly what Satan offered Jesus. And Jesus refused to be tempted by that and just quote the scripture back and won that particular battle. But we had better be very, very careful. It's especially seeing how this idea is coming into the churches, how the same promises are being rephrased in Christian terms, somehow with bringing God or even our Lord Jesus Christ into the promise and saying, he will give you, you are so precious to him, he will give you whatever you want if you just do this and that. It's the thinking of positive thinking gurus like Norman Vincent Peale, who was one of the early ones to embrace the new thought ideas, and Rosicrucianism, Robert Schuller, and he has influenced hundreds, if not thousands, of people who call themselves Christians today, and a number of pastors. You read the material by John Maxwell, and it's who is a management guru, not just in America, but around the world, and you find the same positive statements, positive thinking, the leaving out of anything that would get in the way of filling your mind with this kind of positivism that somehow is going to create miracles for you. One of the things that she says in her book is, summoning what you want. He says, you have to focus only on what's positive. He says, the law of attraction doesn't compute don't or not or no or any other word of negation. In fact, you cannot present God's guidelines that might somehow conflict with the person's personal wants.
Well, I think it's so important that people understand this is real. The power is there. But don't you dare even think about it. If you care about your eternal soul, we'll be back in just a moment with Barrett. And when we get back, we'll invite your calls here at 800-259-5791.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
How are you feeling today? I ask because if you have health challenges, then reading our free booklet about the most amazing discovery of our time is crucial. The booklet is about an amazing fruit from Southeast Asia they call mangosteen. It's a centuries-old medicinal fruit whose time has come and it has amassed 40 years of published research. We have information and testimonials from all over the world about the health potentials of this amazing fruit. This powerful botanical has contributed to the well-being of millions of people the world over with health concerns just like yours. You can have the 22-page e-booklet absolutely free. We'll also refer you a website with links to actual testimonials and product information. Could this fruit help you in your quest for total health? Find out why mangosteen is known as the queen of all fruits and why it is fast becoming the best-selling wellness product ever brought to the market. Your health is in your hands. Do something about it today. Call 800-681-1909. Again, that's 800-681-1909.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easy to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Barrett Schoest. And before we go on, well, Barrett, I want you to get your web page out there so people can go to your web page. There's a tremendous amount of information there on this subject and many, many related subjects about the spiritual battle that is being waged today for the souls of men and
well,
the survival
you.
Of Christian civilization. Go right ahead, Barrett.
Thank you. It's crossroad.to. No com or org or net, just T-O at the end. T like in Tom, O like in Oscar, and it's crossroad singular. If you go backwards, it's to the road of the cross. But forward, it's crossroad dot T-O. And the article will be the first one listed on our homepage right now. And it will have links to the Kabbalah, to Gnosticism, to Rosicrucianism, to Unity, New Thought, all the different what you might call branches of this occult tree that have joined together and somehow merged into popular form together in this book, The Secret.
And I think what's really so interesting is that this time in history, as America, of course, is being increasingly drawn into another major war in the Middle East, and I believe that everything would point, and I hope I'm wrong, but everything would point to the fact we're going to war with Iran, and if you think we're going to come out of that the same nation that we were, you're sadly mistaken. But just at this time in history, suddenly we see presented on Oprah Winfrey and Larry King Live, and this idea, in fact, Jim Carrey has been going on to television programs talking about, you know, how, you know, he was young, he used to just begin to concentrate on money. And how he was going to get a check for $1 million. How he was going to become a great star on motion picture star. And by using his mind, all of these things were to come about. And you could do exactly the same thing. And the trouble is, you might very well, but at the expense of your eternal soul. Understand what we're up against. Today, there is suddenly this massive propaganda campaign being carried out all across America, targeting the minds and the hearts and the souls of our people, and moving them away from the God of the Bible, moving them into paganism, and a lot of Christians will fall for this because they're not being warned in their churches, they're not being warned by their ministers, they're totally unprepared for this onslaught, and wouldn't all of us like $100,000, $1 million, to be rich, to be famous? So what do you say to people that say, well, what's wrong with this, Barrett? After all, wouldn't it be wonderful if we really could name it and claim it, as they say?
Yes, but that's not the system God has put in place, is it? That's not what he has taught us. It's exactly the opposite. It's a tempter who masquerades as an angel of light and who has his ministers masquerading as ministers of righteousness, who are trying to draw us away from the true God. I'd like to just read another scripture here, just as a warning, because what God warned us would happen in the Old Testament days if people turned away from God to these same religions, to the Babylonian deceptions, which included this very thing we're talking about. Go back to Egypt, as so many of them did. Again, Egyptian theology was the same type of teaching. Rosicrucianism today, of course, is based on Egyptian mythology and Egyptian religions, and it has the same kinds of promises that you can create the reality by your thoughts. But here's what God told his people back in those days when they had the very same temptations. He said, when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. And you say in your heart, my power and the power of my hand has gained me this wealth, which, by the way, is the whole key to the secret again. It's my power, my thoughts, the might of my hand which has gained me this wealth. If you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. And now some might say, well, that's Old Testament. How about the New Testament? And then you can go to 1 Corinthians 10, and there it tells us, it gives some illustrations from the Old Testament, and it says the same thing will happen to you if you disobey God in the way that they did. So we're looking at a time when we could be coming into increasing spiritual struggles as well as other crises, and I'd like to share one illustration, Dr. Stan, of, you know, in the Old Testament, God withdrew his protection over the land, and it's mentioned, and we see many examples of that in the Old Testament. And so I have wondered, would God ever withdraw his protection over America? And so I'd like to give one illustration. May I?
You certainly may.
Okay. Back in the 90s, I received a phone call from a psychologist up in Alberta. I had just written A Twist of Faith, and he had read it, and he was curious about some things and wanted to talk about all the visitors coming, especially women, seeking their spirit guides and participating in Indian sweat lodge ceremonies and spirit quests and so on. And he had noted that the past years, people would come, they might even spend years there, they'd settle there, but they'd never get in touch with their spirit guide, just like people 20, 30 years ago who played Ouija board could do it just for fun, but there was no negative effect. They didn't meet a personality that indwelled them and would begin to communicate with them. Well, he said that has changed. Now he said, and this is about 10 years ago now, he said they're most of them are meeting their spirit guide, and not just one, they have many. In fact, they're so tormented by the many voices and the horrible things that they're experiencing, sleeplessness, terror, and so on, that they've gone to various secular psychologists who just dismiss it as multiple personality disorders, and they don't quite know what to do with that either. But in this case, they're dealing with demonic entities who come when they're invited. And Stan, I think it's very interesting that it was so easy, it's becoming so easy to make contact and to be empowered by occult forces these days. And to me, that's a sign that God is actually withdrawing that protection that he had that when he was blessing America in a very special way, even those the minority who were seeking occultism weren't contacting with the demons. Now they are. To me, that's just sobering, and I want to share it as a warning to parents and children and all who would be tempted not just to take Rhonda Byrne's affirmations, positive occult affirmations to heart and practice what she says, but as a warning against all the role-playing games and occult literature and so on that's attracting children and opening their eyes to a realm that they should have nothing to do with.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. That's 1-800-259-5791. Like to know what you think about what Barrett is talking about. Do you believe there's another dimension out there that you can contact? Do you believe that you could actually, through the use of your mind, be able to conjure up great wealth or a sports car or maybe a brand new house or yacht or all those things? And I know people who've been into this. I know people who've been actually had the out-of-body experiences, who've been in contact with these other beings, who rewarded them richly, who were their friends. They were their guardian angels, or they thought that they were their guardian angels until one day they realized that they were demonically possessed. This is not imaginary. This is not something you're seeing on television. This is the reality of what's going on today. How do you understand the horror that's taking place in Iraq and Afghanistan today? How do you understand the mass genocide that's taking place in Africa, where, you know, millions of people are dying every year of an AIDS and unnecessary epidemic? And how do you understand the organized effort to, you know, withhold the use of DDT, which has killed probably close to 100 million people in the last 33 years? There really is a devil. He is the ruler of this world, and you have two choices. You can either embrace the God of the heavens, or you can go along with the flow. But, of course, it'll be very, very costly. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. And if you haven't been up on the Internet, look up The Secret. Everything it says is true, except that this is going to be beneficial for you. But there is the power. It's been known for the leaders of the world, many of the great minds of the world, really for thousands of years. And many of them have tapped into this information and have passed it down to the secret societies and the esoteric wisdom. But now, of course, it's just being spread widely here in America, which suggests to me that without a great revival, America, as we know it, will be lost and doomed. What are your thoughts on that, Barrett?
Well, I just totally agree, Dr. Stan. I think, again, going back to scriptures, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, where it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith." And this is the key, is steadfast in the faith. And faith has become such a loose term these days. The faith that's discussed, that's mentioned and emphasized in the Bible is faith in God's Word. Faith based on God's Word. Faith in everything that God, and Jesus said, in 1 John, we know that Jesus is the Word, the living Word, and He calls Himself that. But we need to put our faith in God and His Word and really know it, memorize it, and be able to hold it up as a shield and weapon, a sword of the Spirit, against all the deceptions that we're seeing. It's a very, very challenging time. I see very few people actually taking all these things very seriously, especially now, I think, as this new positive message is spreading everywhere, that God loves you, God delights whenever whatever you do, and He will always take care of you. I mean, it just takes away the concerns that we genuinely ought to have as we are dealing with spiritual warfare continually.
Amen to that. And of course, the thing is that the ministers are not actually warning the people about that, because even some of our ministers have gone over into this other dimension. I know a minister at the church where I was, you know, well, actually, I was taking us, he took us into the church growth movement. He let me know under no uncertain terms that I wasn't welcome in the church I'd been in for many, many years. But afterwards, you know, after things began to fall apart in his life in the church, and he's actually, of course, written about how he himself was demonically possessed. And what people don't understand is, this is really spreading widely within the Protestant church as well. I mean, certainly a significant number. Some people say as much as 40% of our Baptist, Southern Baptist ministers are into masonry, which is simply another example of this. You begin tapping into these other powers. And of course, this permeates every aspect of our society today. And until you understand that, I mean, it's prevalent in Hollywood, it's prevalent in television. There is an organized effort to undermine Christianity. We see this latest movie that's coming out where they've actually found the bones of Jesus Christ and his son and Mary, who he married. And why? Because, of course, they have to destroy faith in God and Christianity before America becomes a totally pagan nation. And where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? Why, it's deafening in its silence. Our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. Go ahead, Barrett.
Oh, I was going to say that movie is just horrendous. And you're right. It's part of the whole scheme to undermine biblical Christianity. As Rhonda Byrne says in The Secret, you know, religions such as Hinduism, Hermetic traditions, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and civilizations such as the ancient Babylonians and Egyptians, delivered this message to their writings and stories. But what she has wrong here, I mean, mostly that statement is true, but like all of Satan's lies, the lie rides on the truth that makes it acceptable. Christianity never was part of that picture. But today's Christianity is becoming increasingly part of that picture. At UN meetings, I have gone to some interfaith conferences and United Religions in San Francisco I've attended, and it's really interesting as I sit and watch these people who call themselves Christians, and then I ask, where are those who represent my kind of Christianity? And they stare at me like, are you an alien here? You know, where did you come from? We don't have Christians like you represented. But the many other spokespeople on the global scene right now for Christianity are those who have blended their faith, with all different ideas, and who have totally ignored the biblical concept of faith. And they are probably among those who are most intolerant toward biblical Christianity. But in our marketing churches today, to bring, you know, where the concept is, we have to be relevant, we have to integrate with the community, we have to make people comfortable who are not Christians in that church, and that means you don't bring up sin, judgment, all those negatives that have caused, quote, the offense of the cross, which is stated in the Bible, you know, for 2,000 years. those are left out. So nobody learns really what is the truth unless God puts it on their heart to search it out on their own, because in the big popular churches, you don't hear it.
Amen to that. Of course, we are really involved in this great spiritual battle that is coming to, I believe, to a climax at this time in history. And what an exciting time to live. What an exciting time to have a voice. Let me suggest you pick up, you go to crossroad.to, that's crossroad.to, and pull down Barrett's article, and it certainly is entitled A New Mask for the Ancient Secret. A New Mask for an Ancient Secret, because this is as old as time. And, of course, what it really involves is you're being able to manipulate the world around you. And instead of being everything surround having to do with God, now it's all about you. Because, you see, you can be as God, and ye shall never die. Those are the two lies that the serpent told in the Garden of Eden, and boy, are they being told today. Well, I guess it's been Barrett Schoest. The website is crossroad.to. That T-O is for Tonga. And there's no S on the crossroads. www.crossroad.to. And let me suggest you get it. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners, Barrett?
Well, I'm just so glad we belong to Jesus Christ in a time like this, and that those who look to him will be led by him and protected by him. I want to just also mention that at the end of the article is a link to the armor of God. And since we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of these times, we need to wear the armor. And I just thank you that we can stand together in this battle, Dr. Stan.
God bless you. Thank you for we need that armor of God and putting it on, and so we can stand, and having done all to stand. Bye-bye. God bless.
American Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, fast safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Shelly, you look Oh, wait, why did you turn that down?
I get so tired of that girl's squeaky voice. I'm sure the bed fan works, but that squeaky voice.
Well, what's the bed fan?
It's a fan that helps hot sleepers stay cool at night.
I could use something like that. This menopause thing is really getting to me at night, and you know how I am about doing that hormone therapy thing. Besides, you're a hot sleeper yourself. You're always throwing the covers off in the middle of the night.
I guess you're right. Why don't we try it? Just think how nice it'll be to sleep through the night.
Yeah, and just think how nice it'll be this summer, and all the money we can save on air conditioning.
I know where we can get some more information.
Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? The Bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
That's bedfan.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and the secret is out there. It's spreading across America. How can we counter it? Why, with the truth, of course. We've got a four-tape set of talks I've done with Constance Cumby, who is the person I first learned about this other dimension, about these supernatural forces which dominate the world today. And so we have a four-tape set, or four-CD set, by Constance Cumby. We have a video of Constance Cumby talking about this movement, and it's fascinating. And then, of course, we carry her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. So you can get Constance's book. You can get the 4 tape set or 4 CD set, and you can get the video. We'll have it later in DVD, but right now we just have it available in video. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get our four tape set on the supernatural. You need to get our four tape set on Satanism and deliverance. You need to get our four tape set on Aleister Crowley, who had tapped into this other dimension, who had supernatural power. And certainly you want to get our new a book we carry, Satanic Crimes, my interviews with them. Pardon me, it goes into the material that William H. Kennedy has put together. Important information that you need to have for times like this. And then you need to understand that there is another side. There is a God out there. There is a God who loves you and you can have a personal relationship with. And you may never be rich. You may never be powerful. Or you may be. It's really up to you and your relationship with God and your abilities. But, I mean, once you tap into this other side in search of wealth and prosperity, you may get it. But at the cost of your eternal soul, what would that cost you? Well, we have a four-tape set called Whatever Happened to Hell. Whatever Happened to Hell. Let me suggest you get it. We don't sell many of these because people don't really like that, talk about it very much. We even have a book that goes along with that. You need to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle that we're involved in and what you must do at this time, certainly to prepare yourself for what lies ahead and to be sure you're on the right side of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of civilization. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Certainly our webpage, radioliberty.com. Now, you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet at one or another network. You can certainly listen to our shortwave 4 hours a day right now at 5.755. That's 5.755. And certainly you can get yourself a small dish and receiver and listen to our programs 9 hours a day on Telstar 5 along with Joyce Riley. And Joyce is on 9 hours a day. I'm on 9 hours a day. Of course, a lot of it's rebroadcast, but nobody wants to listen 4 or 5 hours a day, although some people actually do. Some people really are desperate to get the truth and to understand what's going on, and we'll do our best to tell you the truth and to put it into its spiritual perspective. So, again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we hope many of you are making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. If you'd like, of course, to lay in a supply of the vitamins and minerals and health supplies you're going to need in case we do see the progressive destruction of our society. If you'd like, of course, to get the food storage things that you're going to need, I really believe we're going to see some terrible times lying ahead, especially if, as I fear, we're going to war with Iran. And believe me, if that occurs, there's going to be a terrible disruption of this country. We'll be glad to send you a health catalog or a an emergency catalog or just a regular catalog, call us at 1-800-544-8927. Support our effort. And, of course, pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but please hold your calls. We have this on the line, Dr. Ed Pierre, and Ed, of course, had graduated from Harvard Law School. He's actually taken cases before the Supreme Court. He's written extensively on the monetary problems that face America today and the corrupt monetary and, of course, the Internal Revenue Service programs we have. But, well, he is certainly a patriot who's concerned about what's happening to America, and he has, well, he's got a lot of things to share with you. Thank you so very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me again, Dr. Monty.
Well, why don't you sort of run down what your thoughts are at this time in history? Because, you know, since we last met, and I think it was probably 3 or 4 years ago, a lot of things have happened. America is changing and changing very rapidly, and I fear we're being drawn deeper and deeper into the quagmire there in the Middle East. So, and certainly we're losing our freedom after step by step, you know, because, of course, the war on terrorism. But you pick up the story.
Well, I think there are a number of elements that we have to consider here. First, there's a background consideration that worries me quite a bit, which is the steadily deteriorating position of our banking and monetary system and the debt position, if you will, of governments from the national level all the way down to a local government. There was an interesting article last summer, in a Federal Reserve publication, Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, written by economist by the name of Koltikoff, who pointed out that the fiscal gap, that is, the difference between what the government will probably be able to raise in revenue and what it will be spending in the near future, is something of the order of $65.9 trillion. That's not billion, that's $1 trillion is this gap. And he suggested quite openly in the course of that article that what would actually happen is the Federal Reserve System would end up monetizing huge amounts of Treasury debt in an attempt to pay off this fiscal gap. So that's something that's really looming in the background. And when you see that kind of information presented in a publication, official publication of the Federal Reserve Bank, in this case of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, from what I would consider to be a mainline or establishment economist, you have to take that very, very seriously. So there's one problem that we have that will be with us no matter what happens, I think, in the Middle East. Now, the Middle East problem is something that actually is background to a second issue that's a great concern to me, which is the very steady development in this country since, of course, the 9/11 episode of what can only be called a national police state mechanism. And of course, we had Patriot Act 1 and Patriot Act 2, and then the Military Commissions Act, and the amendment that Senator John Warner put in, the Military Appropriations Bill. All of this leading to a centralized form of national police organization that stretches down with influence, if not control, into every state and local police agency in the country. And that's a very disturbing development in my mind, because if you put the two of those together, if you put together the possibility of looming financial troubles, which might lead to economic and social dislocations throughout the country, and then you couple that with the existence of this developing police state, you can see a very ominous picture coming into play that somebody may be predicting and preparing for the possibility that we have serious economic and social dislocation, and they're going to deal with it through the imposition of police mechanisms.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Dr. Ed Pierram, and he's, of course, graduated from Harvard Law School. He has his degree, his doctorate in law. He has presented cases before the Supreme Court. He's one of the really outstanding thinkers of our time, and he was just sharing with us his concern about what's happening economically. He commented that, of course, you could go up on the Internet and pull down an article by Dr. Kotlikoff, who had written an article for the St. Louis Federal Reserve Board, which in essence says America is bankrupt and the only thing that can be done is massive printing of money to simply liquidate our debt, in the process destroying our currency, referring to the fact that we have, you know, simply somewhere close to between 60 and 70 trillion dollars of debt that we can never possibly pay. And the only way out, of course, is simply they call it monetizing it, but it's a nice name for destroying our currency. And then, of course, he talks about what's going on here in America. As in the name of course, fighting the war on terrorism, we passed the Patriot Act 1, the Patriot Act 2, the Military Commissions Act, the John Warner Defense Appropriations Defense Appropriations Act, and of course, all of these are moving towards a police state in America. So you pick up the story there, please.
Now, that brings me to, of course, this war on terrorism and the whole problem in the Middle East. And of course, we've been told that the reason we have this problem is that the terrorists, whoever they may be, hate our freedom. Well, I always like to ask the question to people who give me that line. How could the terrorists be more likely to win? What would make the terrorists more happy than to see us destroy our own freedoms by establishing a national police state mechanism here? It's really ironic that the people who are waging the war on terrorism are doing it in such a way that they're bringing us the very result that apparently the terrorists would most desire. And I would ask another question as well. How is it that the United States, in its present financial overstrain, if you will, position of 65.9 some trillion dollars worth of unpayable governmental debt, is going to be able to prosecute an endless series of military operations throughout the East, throughout the Middle East, or really throughout the entire Islamic world? Because we hear many people who are promotive of the world war on terrorism say that what we're really fighting is a thing called Islamo-fascism.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here with Dr. Ed. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ed is simply saying, you know, that we're being told over and over again that there's nothing that the terrorists want more. The reason the terrorists hate us is because we're free. And yet, of course, it is the very programs that are being instituted in America that are taking away our freedom. Now, certainly, if the terrorists want to take away our freedom, and we want to oppose that, why is it our leaders so intent upon ever increasing government control over every aspect of our lives? And then, of course, the next question is asked: how are we possibly going to finance the endless war that is going on in the Middle East? We fought over there far longer than we fought in the Second World War. You know, I mean, certainly we've been in Afghanistan well over 5 years. We've been in certainly in Iraq over 4 years. It certainly took, I think, 40 months to defeat the Axis powers during the Second World War. But we have heard from people like Donald Rumsfeld and others, this war is never going to end. It's an endless war against Islamofascism, which means we're going to have to take on the whole Islamic world, and the war will go on and on, just as the Crusades did for hundreds of years. So take the story up there, Ed.
Well, this leads me to conclude that there may be something behind the scenes here that's really operating, in that the war on terrorism is a very convenient excuse for the elaboration of more controls on Americans within their own country. Police state mechanisms, surveillance, probably in the long run, as financial difficulties arise, further and further financial, banking, and monetary controls on our own people, all justified by this supposed never-ending threat that's out there. And I would just suggest you take a look at World War II as, in a sense, as the example of this kind of blundering. Remember, the war was started by Hitler and Stalin. They made a pact in 1939 to divide up Poland. So Stalin was one of the aggressors in the beginning of World War II. By the end of the war, Stalin, of course, had changed sides because Hitler attacked him. Stalin became the big winner. Not only did he hold all of the parts of Poland that he had agreed with Hitler to take over, but his troops were in all of Eastern Europe and in half of Germany, and then he went on in, to send his troops into Manchuria and aid the Chinese communists under Mao Zedong to take over mainland China, and we are still living with the problems of the Chinese Communist Revolution. So if you look at World War II, which was a war, again, to fight for the values of the Atlantic Charter and for democracy and the extension of freedom, it ended up as a disaster from our point of view. But I think behind the scenes there were people who were looking for that result. I don't think that result was entirely accidental. And I think the same thing is going on here with the war on terror. There, of course, there are many straws in the wind, as it were, that are causative factors here. But the one thing that seems to go through on a straight line in this process is that the more this war on terrorism is waged, the tighter the controls become within the United States. And ironically, as I said earlier, the more it appears that the terrorists are really winning, because if the thing they hate is our freedoms, we are destroying those freedoms, or letting someone destroy those freedoms right at home. And it's not the terrorists. All the terrorists in the Middle East could never overcome this country militarily or force us to give up our constitutional freedoms. It's only through the governmental apparatus of the United States that this could be done. And that's where it's being done. Which leads me to the conclusion that there's something more here than meets the eye.
I certainly agree with you. In fact, if you read the Iran Study Group report, they say there are only about 1,300 al-Qaeda terrorists in Iraq today. Now, you mean we have 160,000 men there to fight 160, you know, to find 1,300 al-Qaeda terrorists? Admittedly, some of the Sunnis are involved in the terrorist attacks against Americans. Truth, but that's because they look upon us as an occupying force. But there are really not that many people in al-Qaeda at all. In fact, maybe we're not being really told the truth, because if you read Foreign Affairs magazine, the September issue of the 2006, why, you'll find out that the lead article is about why haven't they struck us again, and the conclusion by one of the elite is why al-Qaeda is not a significant force in the world today. But of course they're not going to tell the American people. That's just what they tell the elite.
That's right. And the question that I would ask, of course, assuming that the war on terrorism has a legitimate basis, what is the constitutional response to this problem of homeland security? The Constitution makes it very clear that the primary response to homeland security is not the Department of Homeland Security, which of course does not even exist in the Constitution. Something that, if anything, is the result of implied powers of Congress. the main line of Homeland Security is supposed to be provided by what the Constitution calls the militia of the several states. In fact, if you read the Second Amendment, it's very fascinating. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. That's the only place in the Constitution where the word security exists. And it's in relationship to a militia and the connection of a militia to a free state. And what we see developing under the guise of Homeland Security is not the revitalization of the constitutional militia, quite the opposite. We see the centralization of political power and police power in Washington, which are directed to something that I would call the opposite of a free state. They may provide security, but not the security of a free state. So we see the Constitution, in this instance, once again being turned upside down by the folks in the District of Columbia for whatever reason. I mean, one of the things that comes to my mind, of course, is these people have, they always tend to think bureaucratically. And when you tend to think bureaucratically, you're looking for top-down solutions, centralized solutions, solutions based on small numbers of people giving orders in a pyramidal fashion. The Constitution is designed the other direction. It's power from the bottom up. As the first three words of the Constitution tell us, we the people are the source of all power and authority in this country. And the Constitution takes the militia of the several states, which of course is we the people organized in each state, as the basis of our homeland security structure. Congress is authorized to call forth the militia for three purposes: to execute the laws of the Union, to suppress insurrections, and to repel invasions. And in that phrase, I would say, is the essence of homeland security. And you will find no other institution or organization, agency in the Constitution that has been delegated those authorities. Not the Army, not the Navy, not the National Guard, which of course doesn't exist, isn't mentioned in the Constitution, not any agency of the executive. It's the militia of the several states. It's clear to me right on the face of the document that the Founding Fathers understood that the foundation for what we call Homeland Security, or what the Second Amendment calls the security of a free state, was to be the militia, and the militia organized, of course, historically as they always were, by the people in each state. They were state institutions that were built upon essentially organization of the vast majority of able-bodied citizens. Yeah, similar to what the Swiss have had for hundreds of years. The Swiss militia, of course, goes back into really into the Middle Ages. But essentially that same principle. And what we see in the country is, of course, exactly the opposite. Instead of decentralization, we see centralization. Instead of having local people in charge, we see a very small apex of a pyramid set up in Washington with Mr. Chertoff and his friends in charge. And I just go back, I always love to give this as an example to people. If we had had a militia structure, or they, I should say, if they had had a militia structure in Louisiana, anything like the colonial militia structure which the Constitution refers to when it uses that word, does anyone think that they would have had the blunders that came about as a result of the emergency with the Hurricane Katrina? They would have had the problems that FEMA caused, the failures of FEMA, and the rest of the Washington establishment? I think it's almost inconceivable if the type of broad-based structure that existed in the colonial days had been carried through and existed in Louisiana and in New Orleans, that any of those problems would have existed. But we don't have it. And one of the things that I'm now working on is a program, if you will, to convince people to revitalize the militia in their own states and to provide them with essentially the intellectual ammunition to be able to do this so that they can develop model state statutes, go to their state legislature, say, this is what we need in order to have Homeland Security be controlled at the local and state level where the Constitution mandates that it should be. And I think that's really necessary, because there's a movement afoot in this country to do the opposite. And once they succeed, once all the bricks and mortar are laid and the cement has dried in this police state structure, we're going to be in trouble, very serious trouble.
In fact, you know, if you read the John Warner, the Defense Appropriations Act, why you'll find out that it gives the president the right, of course, to use the military troops against the American people, to take control of the National Guard, to use that against the American people, to declare martial law in America, you know, in case there's an epidemic or in case there's some sort of instability, in case there's a natural disaster. In fact, even a liberal senator from Vermont, Patrick Leahy, said this legislation, it encourages the president to declare martial law in America. And where is the outcry? Why do we have to have a liberal senator, a left-wing senator, saying what every American senator and every American should be saying? We don't want to be run by Washington, D.C. Do we really want to trust the people there with Washington with that power? What about Hillary? Would you want to give her that power? We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Ed Vieira. We'll go right ahead, Ed.
Okay.
You're on.
Oh, I am.
You're on, yes.
Well, you asked the question, would we want to trust Hillary with that power? And of course, without casting any aspersions on Hillary's character, I would simply say I wouldn't want to trust anyone with that power.
Nor would I, for that matter.
Right? You know, I think the whole point of the Constitution being set up the way it was with respect to these security matters and with the militia being explicitly named as the entities which are going to have this responsibility, and then, of course, the Second Amendment emphasizing that again. And I just want to make one point I think is very important. The Second Amendment says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's the only place in the Constitution, other than the preamble, in which the Founding Fathers thought it was important to explain the reason for protecting a particular right, that is, the right of the people to keep and bear arms. That reason, so that they would have a militia that could provide security to a free state, was so critical that they wrote it out. So one would think, looking at that, they must have considered that the militia was the very keystone of the Homeland Security system. And that structure really prevents any type of top-down tyrannical or usurpatory action coming out of Washington. Because a militia that's organized at the state and local level is simply not going to respond uniformly across the country to tyrannical dictates coming out of Washington. And that's what the Founding Fathers had in mind. I mean, the whole picture, a context in which they were operating, was one of a monarchical government functioning through an unrepresentative parliament that was imposing, essentially, dictates on a free people. And they didn't want that same kind of system to be carried over into the Constitution, and so they structured the Constitution on exactly the opposite principles. And it's interesting, we have a lot of supposed conservative commentators in this country, especially on the radio talk shows, who keep telling us about the powers of the Commander-in-Chief, once again, this monarchical figure. Well, the powers of the Commander-in-Chief with respect to the militia, yes, the Commander-in-Chief is... The president is the commander-in-chief of the militia, but only when the militia are called into the service of the United States, and only for the three constitutional purposes of executing the laws, suppressing insurrections, and repelling invasions. Now, none of those purposes looks to me like it could possibly be consistent with the operation of a police state. Almost by definition, it couldn't be. So we see that the constitutional structure is one that if it were followed, it would be impossible to have a national police state. Which then raises the question in my mind, well, perhaps is that the reason why, with all this talk about Homeland Security, no one in this country but myself, I think, because I haven't heard of anyone else, is pointing out that the militia should be the basis of our Homeland Security structure. I mean, why hasn't Mr. Chertoff said this? He's an attorney. He was in the Justice Department. He was a federal judge. Hasn't he read the Constitution the same as I have? Why doesn't he propose this? And without casting aspersions on him, I have a concern that a lot of those people in Washington really don't care what the Constitution provides. They're interested
in exercising power according to a pattern that they think is more efficient or more expedient or whatever. They have some value system that is playing into this.
Hold that,
and they just don't pay attention.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. Piero has been talking about this idea of militia control from the bottom up, which should only be mobilized by the central authority in case of insurrection or invasion. But it could not simply be used for foreign adventures like the National Guard and other things. So this is what's stipulated in the Constitution. Now, of course, the founding fathers of America realized one specific thing, and that is that man's heart is sinful, and you could never trust men with power. And of course, it was in those days that they had that concept that, you know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. They understood that you could not give anybody power, and that's why they wrote the Bill of Rights. And if you read it through carefully, you'll see what it is to restrict the power of the federal government. It didn't restrict the power of the state government. It didn't restrict the power of the local government. They feared the centralization of power. Now, they never teach that in schools today, and the reason they don't is because there really are people who want a dictatorship in America, and the last thing they want is for the American people to understand why the Constitution was written as it was. And that was to take the chains off of the people and put them onto the politicians and the president, so he could not misuse his powers. So pick up the story there, please.
Well, I think that's very important, and the president, because as I said before, we hear many of these, especially radio talk show commentators, who take the position, essentially, that the president, as this thing called commander-in-chief, has some sort of overriding powers, almost like a Führer or a Duce, if you will, to use the German and the Italian example, which, of course, is not the case. The president's power with respect to the army or to the navy or to the militia, for that matter, is limited because Congress has the power to provide for the rules and regulations to govern the army, the navy, and the militia. So Congress can certainly set limitations on what the president can do, and the militia in particular can only be called forth for the three purposes of executing the law, suppressing insurrections, and repelling invasions. And going back to the point you just made, Dr. Monteith, about the Founding Fathers, the problem that they had when they set up government was they recognized that you have to have men functioning in public office, but men exposed to the use of power will often be sufficiently corrupted that they will abuse it. So how do you solve that problem? It's just like squaring the circle. And their response to it was to create mechanisms of checks and balances that would divide political forces and would give different levels of society the ability to deter other levels of society from attempting to exercise abusive political power. And the militia is kind of your classic example of deterrence in the sense that if you organize the vast majority of the adult population of the country in militia structures, the likelihood that any tyrant in a centralized location like the District of Columbia will be able to amass a large enough military force or police force or whatever tends to be minimized because of the deterrent effect. Yes, in the long run, who knows, you know, the army might win, but it's a pretty long throw of the dice, and who wants to take that chance? I give you a good example, of course, Vietnam, and now this Iraqi situation, which proves that relatively small numbers of guerrilla-type fighters can hold the best army in the world essentially at bay for years. And that was the Founding Fathers' own experience in the War of Independence. What was the best army in the world at the time? Well, of course, it was the British Army. And yet, Washington, by the use of sort of skillful mix of regular military tactics and militia, what we call irregular tactics, was capable eventually of holding his own and finally, when the French came to our assistance, of winning the war. So I think that's the background in which this structure was created. But the important thing is, it is the structure that our Constitution gives us. And therefore, it's the structure that we ought to follow. And what I see happening, of course, is that in Washington, D.C., they're following exactly the opposite structure. And in the states and localities, you have essentially a political vacuum. Most state officials seem perfectly willing to kind of go along reflexively, robotically, if you will, with whatever Washington proposes. And as a result of that, I think the only thing that what needs to be done is that the people themselves have to begin to demand another response to this Homeland Security problem. We have to come from the bottom up and make our state representatives recognize how this should be done and pass the necessary legislation to see that it is done.
Well, all that we can do, of course, is to try to educate the people. We have at least a few of the left-wing radical senators who I would disagree with on everything else speaking out. What I want to know is, where are those Republicans who should be advocating eliminating the government's power that seem to be embracing ever more power? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dr. Ed Vieira, and we're talking about the importance of this concept of a traditional militia, not the National Guard that the president can mobilize at any time to use against the population or send overseas at his whim and then keep them there indefinitely as their lives are shattered, their families are destroyed. The National Guard was never meant to be used in aggressive wars, and believe me, these are aggressive wars that we're fighting in Afghanistan. Because we went in there, of course, to catch Osama bin Laden, and when we didn't catch him, we decided just to stay on and so we could have a good war. And then we went in, of course, to Iraq because we wanted to depose the Saddam Hussein. When we did that, we just stayed on because we wanted to bring out democracy. After all, isn't democracy a good thing? And that was never the function of we were to use our military for, to impose our will on other nations that did not want and invite us to be in there. We say, well, oh my goodness, the Iraqi government wants us to stay. No, the Iraqi government is simply a puppet government installed by our leaders, and they say exactly what they're told to do, and if they don't, why, who knows, why there might be a roadside bomb waiting for them one of these days. Well, go ahead, pick up the story, Ed.
Well, I think there's another important point here in terms of the limitations that the Constitution puts on the general government in the use of armed forces. The preamble lists as one of its goals the common defense. It does not list imperialism, overseas adventures, the creation of spheres of influence, power politics. None of that is there. If you look at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, which delegates to Congress the power to tax and spend, it repeats that limitation. It says Congress shall have the power to tax and spend for the common defense. There's no indication that Congress could possibly spend a single penny on aggressive foreign adventures. So you look at much of what is going on and is being touted by certain people in the media as being appropriate, which bringing democracy to other countries, we're overthrowing bad regimes. None of that is constitutional unless those bad regimes have attacked us so that our response is part of the common defense, not the extension of some vague ideas of democracy, especially given that this country itself is not a democracy. It's a republic. Right? The Constitution makes that clear. It's a republican form of government, not a pure democracy. But we keep hearing this buzzword, democracy, democracy, democracy.
Hold that thought, Ed. We'll be back here in just a moment as we bring all of our stations back on board. And then, of course, we want you to get out your website. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today, of course, is Dr. Edward Vieira, and he is certainly advocating that we begin to analyze what the Constitution says about a militia. And certainly, I very much fear that we're going to be moving into a situation of chaos and crisis in America. And, of course, we have two alternatives. We either have a local militia and we maintain order locally, or we have a federal militia, and we have a federal troops being used against American citizens, and that would be a terrifying thing to think about. People said it couldn't happen here, why we could never have a police state, and I would like to ask why. If God is just, what right do you have to be free? Well, before we go on, would you like to get out your website and how people get your information with?
Well, right now I have a number of articles on newswithviews.com.
That is newswithviews.com and your
www.newswithviews.com. There's a list of contributors there, and my name is among them. Just click on that link, and you'll get quite a few articles, many of which deal with the subject that we're talking about tonight. The latest one is an article called The Shearing is Nearing, the title of which probably suggests the subject matter. And in that article, I describe how people can obtain my new book called Constitutional Homeland Security, which deals in great detail. It's the first of a series, but it deals in great detail with the concepts of the militia and the constitutional principles that we've been talking about tonight.
And because I should mention that Dr. Vieira has written a number of books. He has written books on the monetary system, the fraud of the Federal Reserve System. As I remember, is that what, Pieces of Eight?
Yes. Actually, what we're doing now, we sold out that book. It was very expensive to produce, so we're now in the process of producing an electronic version. The website is piecesofeight.us, all one word, piecesofeight.us. But right now it's down, because we don't have the electronic version of the book completed, but it will be done shortly, I hope, and then people will be able to obtain that book on CD or by downloading or by taking it directly off, getting directly onto the website and taking it off directly there. So that's available. And then if you go to newswithviews.com, I have another book called How to Dethrone the Imperial Judiciary, which can be obtained through that website. And that deals with the problem of judicial supremacy and essentially the runaway federal judiciary and what it's been doing to undermine our Constitution. Well, and how to deal with that, essentially, how to deal with that problem.
Well, I certainly recommend Ed's material. It's excellent, it's well thought out, and you won't find a finer analysis of any of these problems than what he's written. So, now, what is the next step? What can people do if they agree with you that maybe we ought to have a local militia, but there's no driving force behind it. There's no organization. Everybody looks to Washington, D.C. to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's probably been dead for a couple of years, but really doesn't matter. We still have that constant threat. We're told every day about the war on terrorism, and that's why we're sending our boys over to fight and bleed and suffer and die, because we're fighting the wicked terrorists, and yet even the Iran City Group estimated only 1,300 terrorists in all of Iraq, but we've got to keep send over another 20,000 troops over there to create order out of this chaos that we've created.
Well, I think one thing that's ironically good that's come out of this process is that the folks in Washington that have been promoting the war on terror, I won't call it paranoia, but it almost rises to that level, have a lot of people concerned about the question of Homeland Security. But simultaneously, we see people from, as you pointed out, from the left, from the ACLU types, all the way over to the right and the true constitutionalists, who are worried about the Homeland Security taking the wrong direction and moving towards a police state mechanism centralized in Washington. So there really is a very fertile ground out there for doing something in the direction that I'm proposing. Now, I don't think it will happen spontaneously out of the state legislators. They're sitting back waiting for their directives from Washington. It has to come from local people. And in this first book of mine on the militia, Constitutional Homeland Security, after discussing the background of the militia and the constitutional principles and the need for it and so forth and so on, I set out an outline of a model program for people to organize themselves at the local level for the purpose of developing a constituency that will go to their state legislatures with a model bill and get the thing passed. And in the future volumes of this series, which will be coming out as fast as I can produce them, I'll be giving a lot more background on the legal details, and then I will have what I'm hoping will be two or three model statutes for particular states, because I do have to pick a particular state to draw up the statute because the state codes are slightly different. But people will be able to take those, and with a little bit of creative editing, will be able to tailor-make them for their own states. I think I'm going to draw one up for Virginia because I live here. I'll draw one up for New Hampshire because I know quite a few legislators in their House of Representatives who might be interested in putting it in. And I'll probably draw one up for one more of the 13 original colonies, so I'll have kind of a mix of different types of states. And I think that will give anyone who has a little bit of creative editing ability a background so that they can draft a bill for essentially any other state in the union. And then what I'm hoping is in one of these states, maybe one of those three or some other one, that a group of legislators will be convinced that this is a good idea, and they'll put it on the table for debate, because, of course, the first step that has to be taken is to make this an issue, which clearly it isn't right now. 99% of the people in the country have no idea what we're talking about tonight. But I think it can be made an issue by a small percentage of the people in any particular state who will just do a little bit of work in organizing, make some contacts with the media, make some contacts in the state legislatures, press this thing, get it on the table, get some state legislators to get it on the table, because the groundwork has already been laid for us essentially by the other side. They've already made Homeland Security an issue. They've already made a lot of people worried about what's going on in Washington. And the people are looking for another alternative. They don't want a centralized system as is being elaborated there, especially one that has all of these powers of surveillance, electronic surveillance especially, that are being generated. And they will be looking for and will welcome an alternative that will bring political control and supervision back to the local level where it belongs. And I think in this, we can even get the ACLU types behind it.
I think you're absolutely right. In fact, I think it's amazing when I see what's going on today, and I find many people on the left are far more concerned about freedom than those on the right living comfortably and in a fluent society, unless it's their son or their brother or their father that's being sent overseas many times without the permission of the people, because of course they signed up for a certain period of time, and then the government says, well, of course you signed up for 3 years, but now we're going to extend it another 3 or 4 years because we're at war with terrorism, and aren't you a patriot? You're going to have to go over it, and they don't want to go. But of course they go over, they're forced to go over, and it's an involuntary draft, and many of them are never going to come home again. Or if they do come home, they'll have a shattered body.
That's right.
All the time they were fighting the 1,300 terrible al-Qaeda terrorists over there, many of whom, of course, are being funded by our good friends in Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, and some people even think there are people in Washington, D.C. with a black budget who may be funding some of al-Qaeda, as they have for years, going all the way back, of course, to the period immediately after the Afghan War. But be that as it may, how long are we going to continue the war over there? A month? 6 months? A year? 10 years? 20 years? And now they're talking about attacking Iran? Where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? And it's deafening in its silence.
That's very interesting how well the propaganda machinery for the extension and intensification of these Middle Eastern adventures has been successful. My own view is, to be a patriot, you first have to secure your own homeland. And the basis of our system is our constitutional form of government. And the basis of that is the goal of securing our individual rights. That can be done, as far as I can see, under the Constitution, in only the way the Constitution provided. Any other mechanism is at best extra-constitutional. It's certainly unconstitutional, and it's probably extraordinarily dangerous. And our difficulty here is that Washington, D.C. is essentially controlled by a mindset that sees its mission, for whatever reason in these foreign adventures, sees its mission here at home in creating this mechanism, which if it doesn't... See, the thing to my mind is, even if it doesn't end up operating as a police state under Mr. Bush, who knows who will follow Mr. Bush in office. Why are we giving unknown individuals in the near future these kinds of powers? What sort of imprudent action is that? It's the height of folly. And yet we're just marching down that path. And that's why, in a way, I thank God for these leftists, of all people. That's the ironic part about it. That here are all these leftists that for years and years and years we have, I think, correctly identified as enemies of the kinds of individual constitutional freedoms we're talking about tonight. And yet they have now become really the champions of those freedoms.
Isn't that strange? Well, of course, really what's happened is, because back at the White House, they're very, very clever, and they are getting the religious leaders, and they have regular conferences for them. They invite them back to Washington, D.C., or they'll have telephone conference calls, and they'll get the leaders of the ministers who are ministering to the people and tell them, oh, my goodness, we're going to have to attack Iran before Iran attacks New York or attacks Israel, or we certainly can't trust those crazy Iranians. Coincidentally, we did bring the power back in 1979 when the CIA toppled the Shah, but we can't trust them with a nuclear bomb. Of course, we originally gave them the equipment to develop nuclear power under the Ford administration, but we certainly can't trust them today. And so the Christian leaders, unfortunately, are flattered. They are being stroked, they're being used, they're being manipulated, and they're going right along with this, and they're leading the Christians of this country, I believe, to their doom. Because the last thing that we want is to expand the war over there, and yet the Christian leaders who should be opposing this senseless war are supporting it because they like to be flattered. And I really, really am seriously concerned that we have people who are certainly more interested in being flattered than fear God. And I don't think God really believes that we ought to be over there killing people any more than he thinks that they ought to be over here killing people in America.
No, well, I certainly do agree with that. And in that context, then, once again we come back to the only solution. When the leaders fail, the people have to take responsibility themselves. Whether these leaders are false leaders or in politics, whether they're in the churches, whether they're in the intellectual community, among the intelligentsia, whether in the media. And every one, I would conclude that every one of those leadership categories have failed on these particular issues that we're talking about tonight. Every one of them. Except that small group, I think, among the leftist intelligentsia who are screaming and yelling, especially about the, what I would call surveillance activities that are going on, the losses of freedom of privacy and related freedoms. But other than those people, all the leadership categories that I would list have really fallen down on the job for whatever reason. And rather than getting into sort of psychologizing these, I don't have the time for that. I don't think the country has the time for that. They failed, now we have to pick up the slack. And my own view of this is that if we pick up the slack at the state level, we will succeed. And I give you this as the example. I bring this up in my book. You know, the movement for private individuals to be allowed to have concealed carry permits so that they could carry firearms in public started, I think it started in Florida. That was at least the state that had the greatest amount of publicity over this. And when that movement started, the establishment was against it. The media were against it. The big politicians were against it. The special interest groups were against it. The only people who were for it were the people themselves. And it passed in Florida. And then it spread throughout the country. And in every state that I've ever looked at the history of, including my own state, Virginia, the establishment was against it, the big media were against it, the big special interest groups were against it, the only people who wanted it were the people, and it passed. Now, that movement was based upon the concept of the right of individual self-defense against essentially street crime, against being mugged in a parking lot or someone attacking you on a bus. The militia concept is the concept of individual self-defense raised to the community level. And I think the same people in essentially overwhelming numbers, or at least numbers so large that the state legislators couldn't refused to pay attention to them. The same people that were behind or worked for or promoted, put pressure on legislators to allow individuals to have concealed weapons in public, will be behind this militia movement. Because they'll see the logic of it. They'll see precisely the protective nature of it in terms of society, and that the political lead to accomplish it has to come from them. It has to come from the bottom up and not from the top down. There will be a lot of resistance by the established groups. They've been beaten on this type of issue before. They can be beaten again. It's simply a matter of getting education and some organization and then making the right contacts between those two and some friendly state legislators who can get the ball rolling with the initial bills being put up for consideration. And I think once that happens, this movement will have a life of its own, and I'll be able to sit back and just watch it go.
Well, I think the important thing, too, is to get to the people, to give them the sense of urgency, to make them realize that freedom is not free. And we have two alternatives. We either fight for our freedom now, or we do this with ideas, and I think this is an idea whose time has come. Because I think many people know that there's a problem, are concerned about control from Washington, D.C., and Mr. Chertoff and all of his friends. You know, and so I'm certainly glad to be optimistic. I hope we can get you back on our other programs, and we can talk about this. And you hang on here for just a moment or two. Our guest has been Dr. Edward Vieira. You can get his articles at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. And get them, pull them down, read them, study them. Ed's one of the clearest thinkers I know in the country, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty. The question is, are you concerned about freedom? What will you do to protect it? Well, Ed, we've got just 3 minutes to wrap up today's program for us.
Well, in 3 minutes, I couldn't do much better than what you just did, Dr. Monteith, in summarizing it. We have a unique opportunity here, the American people, to change the fundamental direction in which our country is going. In a sense, the other side has given it to us with this war on terrorism, the concern for homeland security. We have the mechanism provided for us in the Constitution. We know what we need to do. We've done this kind of thing before, as I suggested a moment ago, with the concealed carry laws that have been passed throughout the United States. It's now simply a matter of taking the responsibility that is ours and fulfilling that political duty that we have, of well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. That's our responsibility. And if we don't take that responsibility, then it's going to be taken away from us.
Have you talked at all to other people, or to Larry Pratt or other people with the Gun Owners?
Oh, yes. Larry Pratt and Gun Owners of America is very supportive of this. He has a lot of my information up on his website, a special link to it. And I know that I'm going to be working with him in the future as these books come out and we begin to put them operation, these ideas into operation.
How soon will the book be available?
Well, the first one is already available. If you go to newswithviews.com and look up my latest article, The Shearing is Nearing, it gives information as to how you can order it.
All right.
And then the other two, I'm working on them, and as fast as I can produce them, they'll be out.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's so important, and I think it's so important that people understand that we have a responsibility, that freedom is not free, and is lost in every country when the good people are so involved leading the good life that they forget that there really are people who have a different worldview that would like to rule. There has always been a lust for power in the hearts of certain men, and nothing has changed. Men are as wicked today as they were 100 years ago, 200, 225 years ago when America was being founded, or 1,000 years ago. And, of course, as Thomas Jefferson said so clearly, it matters as politics speak not to me of competent men, but bind them down for mischief with the change of the Constitution. Ed, thank you so very much for being with us. I hope we can get you on our other programs, and I want all of our people to hear what you have to say.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith.
Good night.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. God bless you. All right, fine. It was Ed Vieira. I hope you enjoyed it, because in my way of thinking, Ed is certainly one of the clearest thinkers we have. He's a constitutional lawyer. He's presented cases before the Supreme Court. I urge you to heed what he has said. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and as I was just saying, our guest this evening, Dr. Ed Vieira, is certainly one of the clearest thinkers in America. I've known Ed for many years. He loves this country. He's a graduate of Harvard Law School. He's actually presented cases before the Supreme Court. And I think we can all learn from his very, very clear and concise thought process. Now, people say, well, we could never lose our freedom in America. And I would like to suggest, if you really feel that way, you need to get our 4-tape set on the Military Commission Act. You need to get our 4-tape set on concentration camps. Or better still, you can get our DVD or video on Behind Barbed Wire, America Behind Barbed Wire, or what we call the Concentration Camp Special, which is the 4-tape set, some written material, government documents on handling civilians who have been put into internment camps, or certainly, and then the amazing clips where you'll actually hear people talking about it, in government, talking about suspending the Constitution and putting people in camps. This is a long-term plan, because we're dealing with wicked people who I believe have been planning for a time just as this. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will explain to you what really motivates the people behind the scenes, the wonderful video we have called The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and this new video put out by the same people, in stone, I think it's written in stone, and I'm just watching it now. It'll be available in about a week when we'll have copies of it available for you. It's one of the most gripping videos you've ever seen, because it goes into the fact that there really have been people here in America since its very beginning who have a different worldview, and those worldviews are, I believe, culminating at the present time. Now, if you'd like to get the material we've been talking about, the 4-tape set on the Military Commission Act, the 4-tape set on concentration camps, the video, America Behind Barbed Wire, or DVD, and or the DVD and or videos, America's Amazing Clips, or get them all together in something called the Concentration Camp Special, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, I've been corrected. The title of the new DVD is Riddles in Stone. But then, if you really sort of don't believe this is possible, I would simply ask you to get your computer out and Google in the words Japanese concentration camps, $38 million. You'll find out that they've recently appropriated $38 million so that they could refurbish the Japanese concentration camps, because they never want us to forget how terrible it is to have American citizens in concentration camps. And then, of course, you go ahead and you Google in Halliburton, $385 million, detention camps or concentration camps, and you'll find that we have authorized $385 million to build new concentration camps in America. Now, if we really want the American people never to forget how terrible it is to have put Americans into concentration camps, why would they want to spend $385 million to build new concentration camps? Do you think that it's just possible that they're lying to us, they're deceiving us? That when they tell us, oh my goodness, we can't pull out of Iraq, the terrorists would follow us home here? Whereas the truth of the matter is, we're actually recruiting people into the terrorist movement. We're not fighting terrorism over there in Iraq. We're fighting people who believe that we are occupying their country and stealing their oil, and, you know, about $8 billion of our own money has disappeared over there. We have no idea it is all shucks. We're just so incompetent. Ladies and gentlemen, that money is going to black operations for the intelligence programs that are going on out throughout the world. We have troops in 135 nations throughout the world. We spend more money on our military than all of the other nations in the world. We have more people per capita in our prisons than any other nation in the world. We're moving towards a police state. Do you care about America? Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. Our number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News on the Information Radio Network, I'm John Russell. The nation's spy chief tells lawmakers Iraqi forces still need to improve if they are to police their own country. Correspondent Jerry Bodlander brings us more.
Iraqi forces are taking the lead in some regions, but Mike McConnell told the Senate Armed Services Committee that while they are improving, they aren't where the U.S. would like them to be. Earlier, the nation's spy chief reiterated for lawmakers that the security and political trends in Iraq are moving in a negative direction, and that the sectarian violence that is racking the country has become self-sustaining.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair says Iran is on the wrong track with its nuclear ambitions.
I think, you know, Iran is making a big miscalculation.
Blair says that the only thing that will work with North Korea is for the international community to stand firm.
The tougher and clearer and more unified we are, the better the result we will get. And